Hello and welcome to an all new edition of Talking Fußball, the Aufstieg edition, your source for all things Bundesliga 2 and lower league football in Germany. And oh boy, do we have a show lined up for you this time around. Well, turns out Max Kruse is back. Exciting news. The coaching carousel is already spinning ahead of next season in the Zweite Bundesliga. And St. Pauli, for the first time ever, they have finished above HSV in the table. Ever since, you know, Bundesliga football was introduced to Germany in 1963. And one man that might be very happy about that is sitting right next to me. It's Mike Krickemeyer. Mike Krickemeyer, are you celebrating with a celebratory beverage right about now?
Of course, I don't do that at all because I will start celebrating when we get promoted. And that's not the case at the moment, so I'm still waiting for that. And this might happen on Friday in a stadium close to our home stadium, which is called Volksparkstadion.
Stelling is fucking miles away from the city center of Hamburg.
That's correct. But in terms of nationwide thinking, you could say they are our closest rivals. And maybe we do play one league above them next year. And this would really be the first time in history. So we finished above them in the table 70 years ago, which was, like you said, before the Bundesliga was founded. But at least we did that once. But we never played a league above them. So, let's wait for it.
Exciting times in Hamburg, and I know a girl who doesn't need a celebratory drink on a Monday.
I'm doing that.
She just drinks. Jasmine Barber, how are you doing there? What are you drinking today?
A nice pink gin that I picked up from Fortnum and Mason, well, in London. It's a big, grand supermarket, which used to be the Queen's supermarket, and they have their own distillery there. So I picked up the pink gin, which had like rose petals and cardamom and Earl Grey tea, which is probably the poshest thing I've ever said, ever. I will get back into the East London way of life and probably call someone the C word to balance it out.
Yeah, I mean,
classic
beer. Hackney on your mind, is it? You are quite a Hackney diamond, aren't you? Talk about somebody else who's never been to East London. You know, if you don't get your music references.
We're 3 minutes in, it's already span out of control.
Yeah, anyways, I'm actually also drinking something a little bit pinkish. It's a pastry sour from our local brewery.
Wait.
But, you know, before we spin even further out of control, let's just take a quick break and return with all the latest from the Bundesliga 2. Right, here we go. It's Bundesliga 2 time on Talking Fußball, the Aufstieg edition. And Mike, you had a home match against a team that you love to loathe.
That's correct.
It wasn't a high-quality affair. Let's just be honest about that.
Yeah, but to be honest, in games like these, in the last couple of match days, I don't expect any magic to happen. It's all about winning somehow, getting your points. It's not about quality on the pitch. It's more like getting a straight mind and, yeah, doing whatever you need to do. And thanks to the hat of Jackson Irvine, we did. And we scored one goal, which was enough on Friday evening to secure a win. And of course, as you said, it's always something special against Hansa Rostock. So this weekend, all the restrooms were closed in the away sector, and we had some mobile restrooms, the Dixie Claws, built up for them. We even had an own song about that.
Ooh.
From our punk rebel legend, I would say, Tommy Molotov, who created a song, and this was played instead of the what we usually do, a song of the away fans. And this caused, of course, a huge joy on the stands. People were singing along. So it was, yeah, a brilliant start from one point of view. Others also raised some criticism about that because, of course, it's something on one end if fans do something against the other fans and try to bully them somehow. But it's something else if the club does that. And the restrooms, of course, were closed for a reason because they damaged them when they visited us the last time, they even throw pieces of them on the pitch and on the other stands. So I can totally go with that. But if you need to play that song, that, well, you might look at it in different ways. And I don't have a final opinion on that. But the important thing is we won that game. And now we just need to go through that open door into the first division.
Well, I mean, the company providing those portable restrooms, they even told Hansa Rostock's fans that if they wanted their youth system not to be in the shitter, they should use those shitters appropriately and don't destroy them, because what was that company promising them?
Yeah, well, I think this was a quite smart marketing move. So they announced it on match day that that there were 40 portable toilets, and for every portable toilet which won't be destroyed, or at least damaged somehow, they would send 100 euros to the youth department of Hansa Rostock. As far as I know, none of that restrooms was destroyed or damaged afterwards, so they should now send 4,000 euros to the youth department. And, well, I think for them it's easy money, because otherwise they would have paid at least some amounts to repair that, even if, of course, they do have probably an insurance on that, but you never cover the whole cost. So, and, of course, it was really, really big shout out from a marketing perspective here. So many, many newspapers reported about that. And I think they made a good move with that.
I found like 17 people linking to various news articles about this on the match day on my Twitter feed when I opened it that morning. So yeah, they got their message across and they got some PR for the company. Well done them. Anyways, Jasmine, turning elsewhere in the Bundesliga 2, there were a couple of other matches featuring promotion candidates. Kiel lost 3-1 against Kaiserslautern, Marlon Ritter getting that third goal there, which really sealed the deal for Kaiserslautern. And Fortuna Düsseldorf, who could have taken advantage and gotten closer to Kiel, well, they only got a teensy, teensy, tiny bit closer, because they only managed a 1-1 draw against Schalke at the Veltins Arena. After leading 1-0, on top of that, HSV won for, you know, the first time in ages. Robert Glatzel finding his scoring boots once again. Not often that we say that this season. Well, HSV, 4 points within range now. Not impossible with 3 match days to go. Kiel, still well above Fortuna Düsseldorf. So, where are we at with those two teams?
I don't know. If anyone knows me, I'm always a little bit stingy over Düsseldorf, because no matter how well they do, I'm like, oh, they look inconsistent. And then obviously they've gone on this amazing run, but I don't think, like, most of them have been lower league sides, and I'm just like, I mean, Schalke's still a lower league side as well, so for them to falter against Schalke before they've got the likes of Kiel. I mean, they do have Nürnberg. I'm not sure who their last game of the season is, though. I can't see them overpowering Kiel, knowing the smaller sides. And that's why I think more of the debate is going to be who ends up third rather than who ends up second and first, especially with that 5-point gap, especially if it is a draw in that Kiel-Düsseldorf game. There's just something about Düsseldorf that they have all the talent. Something never really shines through. And I think that it relies more on individual quality than actually what's there and playing in the team. But I don't know. No one knows what Hamburg could be or serve up or not serve up. And I think they're a lot more inconsistent, especially now with Steffen Baumgart to take on third. So, I mean, the gap is closer. You can't really write off Karlsruhe to just come in, at least take Hamburg side. But it will be interesting to see. I don't think Nürnberg do anything against Düsseldorf, and then it's pretty much game over. So that's where it really is. I think even though Kiel slipped up against Kaiserslautern like to play those possessional-based teams, and I think we know about Kaiserslautern, the way that they work. Like, no matter who their manager is, it's always the same game with them. It's off the ball. It's very intensive. It's very gritty. And if you put someone like Ragnar Ache to score it just seems to be better for them to work that way. So I think it's more of a slip up from Kiel, but their ultimate form has been a lot better recently. Well, amazing recently.
They played against Kazakhstan without Lewis Holtby as well, who is,
the main part of that team.
Yeah, well, I mean, funnily enough, when he's on the pitch, they tend to do well, statistically speaking. I mean, it might be a coincidence, but statistically speaking, they do well. And, they lost him against HSV the week prior to that, when they got that huge, huge result against HSV at the Volksparkstadion, which, you know, saw HSV drop out of the promotion race for good, we thought. And, well, now HSV are 4 points behind them. Mike, you're going there next weekend, the Volksparkstadion.
Yes.
You know, what do you expect?
Yeah, well, it's one of these thing or one of these matches which you would always dream about, because you could get promotion in the stadium of your biggest rival. And again, with that special thing, you would play for the first time ever one league above them. So this is really magic to happen, if it happens. And of course, it would be the worst nightmare ever for HSV to see us celebrating promotion in their stadium. So you couldn't think of anything more devastating than that for them. And the other way around, for us, it would be a perfect night to remember forever. So I don't think that you can talk about tactics and physical things for that match day. Everything will take place in their heads, and probably the team that scores the first goal will win, because it will definitely do a big damage to the others.
Well, I mean, if you think about Bendik Plike, kicking down that corner flag, and I think Leo Østergaard, the Norwegian, did the same a few years after that.
Yeah.
I mean, those were like things that HSV fans cringe about when they think about them. But yeah, this would be a whole new level of cringe worthy for HSV fans.
Yeah, and especially if we do that with a win. So Düsseldorf plays in parallel on Friday evening against Nürnberg. But like Jasmine said, I don't expect Nürnberg to do anything. But if we win, that would mean, on the other hand, that they are definitely out of the race for promotion. So yeah, like I said, biggest nightmare ever.
I mean, for them, it's also a little bit more pressure there, because if Nürnberg suddenly goes down, they actually are under pressure to actually score.
Yeah, definitely. So they need to do something, and they are now in the position again to lose something. And we have seen that during the season and also during the last couple of years. Every time when they could really achieve something, they struggle, especially in April and May. And yeah, this is something. So I think before the weekend, no one expected them to win in Braunschweig, especially not in that style, like 4-0. So they are now back. Jonas Bolt said, we are still alive. Yeah, okay. But now you can lose something again. And this might be something like an obstacle in their way.
Well, it's going to be exciting no matter what. And on match day 33, there's of course that direct duel between Kiel and Düsseldorf. So there might still be some twists and turns ahead for all four of these teams.
Yeah, one thing I would like to add. So taking a look at Düsseldorf, you do have that home match against Nürnberg, and you do have the home match against, I think it's Magdeburg, on match day 34. And that means they just need to win these two games to be at least third. And therefore, I don't see HSV to come back to place three again. But it's football, you never know.
Famous last words. Jasmine, anything to add?
Yeah, I think it is. It should be that way. It should. But yeah, football is crazy. And as I said, Düsseldorf just aren't the most consistent. They're just not. And that always worries me. But then, let's just say, whoever makes it into third, do they have a good chance against whoever will be third bottom in the Bundesliga, which is looking to be Mainz or Bochum now?
Mainz or Bochum? Well, Mainz or...
Or did Bochum win?
Bochum did win. Well, I think Mainz actually have the toughest schedule left. They've got Heidenheim with three players suspended and Dortmund.
Yeah, Dortmund's easy. Dortmund, Mainz will win that next. You remember last season?
Well, true. Fair enough.
A big game for Mainz against Dortmund. I would not back Dortmund.
Well, okay. Whatever.
It's going to be a hard... We know the record. Whoever's in that third place, it doesn't matter. Hamburg needed second or first.
I think if you are the Bundesliga 2 side competing in that match, I think you would prefer Bochum to be that side you're going up against.
Yeah, they don't really have a manager.
You know, they don't have a manager, and they don't... They're the side out of three of them with the least amount of quality.
Mm.
I'd pick them every day of the week if I was, you know, in third in the Bundesliga 2. But anyways, I hinted at it at the top of the show. Jasmine, coaching carousel in the Bundesliga 2. It's starting to swing, and we, you know, spin and spin and spin around, and we are starting to get vertigo. Get us in there.
And it's not just the managerial, it's board level or sporting director level on top as well. So I don't know where to start with this one. We mentioned Nuremberg quite a lot, so let's start with them. Rumours are that there was a rumour that Christian Fehl would be fired. I don't know if that ever manifested, but there's now rumours from today saying Dieter Hecking will be sacked. And this is after, weirdly, at halftime in their match against Karlsruhe, he did the halftime talk, which did not look good on many people. So they're looking to sack him. If they sack him, it looks like Christian Fehl will have a way out. And the reason why he might have a way out either way, if he's fired or he wants to go, is that Hertha Berlin have been rumoured for a few weeks now to wanting Christian Fehl as their manager for next season. And this seems to be pretty strong, the kind of talk around it. It's been there for a couple of weeks. There's connections that I know of between Fehl and Hertha Berlin. The only thing I would say it kind of shows or is evident of is what Hertha Berlin are planning to do for the next seasons. Fehl does not have the best record in general. He obviously he left Dinamo Dresden before they got relegated or was fired. He did well in Nuremberg's under-23s. Was promoted. He's done well compared to last season where they nearly got relegated. Has done it's not great. One thing he does have is developing talent. He doesn't care what age you are, he will play you. He will play the youngsters. And I'm guessing that really taps into what Hertha Berlin are in at the moment and kind of shows what their future plans are, which doesn't seem to me a team trying to get promoted into the Bundesliga. Maybe trying to sell off as much young talent as they can with showcasing.
I mean, the thing is, they just think, okay, we get a guy who can develop some young talent. If it works perfectly, we might get promoted if we're really, really lucky. You know, if the shit hits the fan, we've got a guy who has, like, huge villa in Charlottenburg or somewhere who's usually just grilling and barbecuing sausages and smoking cigars and, watching Hungarian football on his television. Whenever there's a crisis, we just wheel him back in.
Yeah, just wheel him back in.
Pal will show up. He's our pal.
It's like Schalke with, what's his face?
Hoop Stevens?
Yeah. Until his actual coaching license expired. They couldn't bring him back anymore. And also, who's their assistant coach that they kept on bringing in as well?
Mike Buskins.
Yes, thank you. Man of names. That's why we love Nick. I mean, that's just the start of the managerial carousel. Then, staying on the Dresden theme of Christian Fehl, you got Schalke, which I don't know what's going on there, I'll be honest, but there was rumours that Marcus Anfang might be head coach of Schalke next season, which I don't know how that's going to work, what's actually going on at Schalke at the moment, but that seems to be the age-old question. What is going on at Schalke?
Has nobody explained to Marcus Anfang that Schalke are vaccinated against success?
Behave.
Oh, how we keep forgetting and forgiving.
Which was joining Dresden, but I think if you're in this game, there's a lot more people living in football with a lot worse. So as long as you're not against women or people of colour, you kind of take that as a win. You have to know when to choose your battles. And yeah, I mean, it was still a criminal act, don't get me wrong. But So is shoplifting. If you're going to shoplift some bread from your family... No, I'm only kidding. That's the train off the brakes into the next station. But let's keep on... I mean, I don't mind because I'm phoning for Schalke. I recommended it when they didn't have a manager for the Bundesliga and then they went with Frank Kramer. Was that in the Bundesliga? That was the Bundesliga, wasn't it?
Yes, and he was then replaced by Thomas Reis, who started the Bundesliga 2 season with them. After, you know, doing decent work in the Bundesliga, almost turning things around, it looked like a little while like he might be in with a chance to, you know, get them to stay in the Bundesliga. It didn't work out, and obviously Thomas Reis was a complete disaster this season.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, and let's be honest, you didn't even need to have hindsight to know that Frank Kramer wasn't going to work. So that's when I think I recommended him for the Schalke and also Arminia Bielefeld, both who were completely crap in both of those seasons. So, yeah, I mean, and then who else? There's more managerial carouseling, but that's to do with 3-Liga, so I won't mention them just now. I think one person who is staying, Kalzinski's gone from VNV Wiesbaden. It's still on the Dresden theme, by the way. That's 3 out of 3.
Dresden have had a lot of managers. So, I mean, if you haven't worked for Dynamo, you haven't worked in the lower league, basically.
Yeah. And so I don't think they'll get someone before. I mean, you've only got 3 more games, but they might want to pull. Get, what's his face? Get,
Peter Neururer?
Dirk Schuster. Just for the playoff. Like they did with Kaiserslautern to go up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he might be up for it.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in playoff, you don't want to give it to your assistant coaches like they're doing now.
Yeah.
That's lame. Have a proper answer.
All right. You mentioned Wien Wiesbaden there. Mike, we talked about the situation at the top of the table. Everything in between right about now is not really all that exciting. I mean, is Greuther Fürth going to finish 8th or 9th? Who cares? Let's be honest. I don't even think they care. I mean, maybe the people looking at the finances who, you know that there might be a slight difference in TV money for, you know, difference between 8th or 9th place, they might care. But other than that, nobody cares. But we do care who gets relegated.
Yeah.
So where are we at in terms of the battle against relegation? Because last time we talked about that, we said, look at Kaiserslautern. They look pretty much buggered.
Yeah, so we still cannot finally say goodbye to Osnabrück, but they are 7 points behind, just 3 games to go. So if they really would have ambitions to stay in the league, they would have needed that win in Magdeburg. But yeah, that last minute or last second hit from Kwasi Wried against the post maybe also damaged their final dreams. So above them, 6 points above them, Rostock with 31, then Wiesbaden 32 on the playoff spot at the moment, Kaiserslautern 33, Braunschweig 34. I think these 4 teams are the ones we need to take a closer look at. Nuremberg, Schalke, Magdeburg all with 37 should be safe, usually, although Nuremberg from all these teams I mentioned really does the worst performance in the last couple of weeks, but probably they are safe because they do have so many points. And from these 4 teams, Braunschweig, Kaiserslautern, Wiesbaden, Rostock, there will be 1 team which will be relegated, 1 team going into playdowns, and 2 teams will be saved. And I don't think that anyone at the moment could do a really, really based on facts judgment how this will turn out in the end. So if you ask me who does the best run in the second half of the season, I would say Braunschweig. So I think they will manage to stay in the league somehow. And Wiesbaden, of course, in the last couple of weeks, they were really, really bad. So I don't see that they will save them. And then we do have Lautern and Rostock. So probably if you ask me how it will turn out in the end, I would say Wiesbaden goes down, Rostock goes in the play down, and Kaiserslautern and Braunschweig will save them themselves.
Good news for the Funkel, then.
The second time that he would have been saved and come in as interim and saved the club, I think, with Köln.
He says he never gets relegated. He's got this annoying stat that, you know, he never goes down. And until he was fired from that Bochum job that he had, where he lost the promotion playoff against Borussia Mönchengladbach, he actually had an insane stat there as well, because he was always promoted with the sides from the Bundesliga 2 that he coached. before, you know, he met Lucien Favre and Borussia Mönchengladbach. So, you know, say what you want about, you know, different sides of Friedhelm Funkel, but he's always gotten results.
Just a quick one on the managerial carousel. There's one person who isn't leaving, and that's one of the relegation teams. Osnabrück, Kosinac signed a new contract.
Well done, Osnabrück.
Yeah. And now they'll lose every single game. Well, they drew that last one, but ever since then, he's lost. Well, not won, let's put it that way.
All right, I think this is about it for the Bundesliga 2. I mean, there was a bit of tragic news, though, that we maybe should mention. I mean, it came in today as something going on during the night in Berlin from Saturday to Sunday night. Mike, fill us in. What happened?
Yeah, well, Hertha played on Friday evening, and on Saturday evening, or in the night from Saturday to Sunday, Eamon Barkok was beaten up in a Berlin, well, I don't know exactly, pub or restaurant or something in between. And he had, if I'm informed correctly, some bruises in his face. So he was beaten up really badly and went into surgery because of that. And now, of course, well, he won't be there for the remaining match days in the league. But that's, of course, the less important thing. So let's hope for a good recovery.
Didn't it say he fractured parts of his face as well?
Yeah, I think so. And there are no details known to the public at the moment. So we will definitely not speculate about that. Police investigates it. He's on loan from Mainz at the moment. Yeah, well, all the best for him.
Well, have a speedy recovery. Well, we'll be right back in part two with loads and loads and loads of stuff from the lower leagues. Right, here we go. It's part two of Talking Foosball, the Aufstieg edition. My name is Nick Wiltagen, and alongside with me, I've got Jasmine Barber and Mike Krickenmeyer. Now, guys, there's actually some really, really, really exciting news from the Regionalliga West. Mike, do you know what I'm hinting at?
Probably that one team managed to get promoted while sitting on the sofa. So after... Oh, I don't even know how many years. I think it's something around 10 years as well. Alemannia Aachen is back in the Dritte Liga. They were on top of the league for several weeks now. They managed to get crowds of 30,000 in their stadium, so it's more than well deserved. And on Friday evening, Fortuna Köln won against Wuppertal SV, and this was enough for them to get promoted. So on the following day, they played Bocholt at home for, again, 30,000 people. They lost, but no one cared because they were promoted. And they also made a pitch invasion after the game and so on. So the usual stuff that you do in Germany when you get promoted. And yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's quite insane to see, though. I mean, I read that the cinema in Aachen actually had to show the match because all the tickets were gone, like, just in a heartbeat, basically, because watching Alemannia Aachen play football is that popular in, you know, a comparably small city, isn't it? It's not a very big city. I mean, it's roughly the size of Mainz.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a small city. It's not Munich and Hamburg, but let me just Google the 245,000 inhabitants. So
it's less than half of Hanover, basically. And Hanover is a small city.
Hanover, first of all, is an ugly city, but ugly. We don't go into that.
Ugly? Are you calling my place of birth ugly? I take umbrage to that. It's a boring city. Really boring. I mean, the Marsh is pretty, though. Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, so this is Alemannia Aachen. And Jasmine, you mentioned that there are some really exciting developments in terms of transfers going on in the lower leagues. What was that all about?
Did I? The managerial carousel again?
No, I'm thinking about players fond of Nutella.
Oh, God, yeah. I need to remember what team he now plays for. I know it's in the Kreisliga, but I don't know what team it is.
It's in Berlin, at least. I know that.
Was that who they played against?
Yeah, it's Aldersimspor.
So, Max Kruse, as everyone knows, was playing in the Zweite Bundesliga for Maybe playing is too much of a big word to use in that.
He had a few minutes on the pitch for part of one last season.
He had a contract. And after months of speculation, he joined Paderborn. Remember, he could have gone to the MLS, could have been in America. Some talk about Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga. Went to Paderborn. He still looked in an athlete at that time. 6 months later, you know, it terminated his contract. He wasn't playing. Didn't hear from him for a while. He turned up on the weekend playing for a Kreisliga club called Aldersimspor in Berlin. And there was quite a bit of commotion that Max Kruse would be there. But in these 6 months, I think it's only fair to say his lifestyle and the way he eats and the whole Nutella scandal has caught up to him. He's quite visibly looks like he now plays for Borussia Dortmund, if anyone knows.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I mean, Dortmund have a thing about fattening up their players. And I'm not just talking Niklas Süle, who's also been talked about recently. But, yes, Google his name, Google Aldersimspor, and maybe just have a look at how he's filled out. Apparently he still played very well, but he's still an athlete, was still training up until 6 months ago. But yes, he's...
I mean, he does have a side project in Germany called the Baller League.
Is he also a part of that? I'll be honest, it's very popular, but a lot of the stuff, maybe it's aimed at mostly like Twitch and TikTok. I've not gotten any of the Baller League content. And after Podolski's misogynistic comments, I don't really give a shit. So he said something about women not being able to play or the classic. Classic. See, this is what I mean about people in football. That's how I can kind of be like, oh, you were a criminal for faking something? Yeah. Do you hate women and people of colour? No? Okay, you're in my good books.
Oh, Paulie. Thinking has never been his strong side, is it? Has it? I mean, let's be honest.
No. But, yeah, have a look at some of these pictures because the man's still an athlete. I still respect him, obviously. But it's just like they've gotten the random pub man to play for your team who's he was just at the pub 12 hours a day to come play for you on Sunday.
Yeah, Max Kruse, you know, drinking a couple of beers after eating some Nutella slices.
Hey, we've all been there. True. We've all been addicted to Nutella. That's something me and him have in common.
True. That's fair. It's fair. Anyways, a bit more news from other low leagues. Again, from North Rhine-Westphalia. Mike Erding, we've talked about them and, you know, the agreement with, you know, Das Bob, was it?
Das, yeah. Don't remember it correctly. So, I remember that the last time we talked about it, at least I was quite pessimistic of them handling this financial crisis again in a good way. Finally, last week or the week before, they managed a new loan of €500,000, which would have saved them. And this week, it turns out that this loan got busted and for whatever reasons. So two of the chairmen stepped back after that. They brought in two new people and one of these guys brought in a new loan of the same amount. So now they are back in the race and believe it or not, they are in third place and the first two clubs in the Oberliga Niederrhein haven't requested a license for the Regionalliga. So it might be that next year we will have KFC Uerdingen back in the Regionalliga. And I don't know how they do that from a financial point of view. To me, it doesn't sound very trustful, all these things going on. Yeah, but nevertheless.
Maybe if they find a good investor.
Yeah, brilliant idea. So maybe that's their way to do it.
Excellent. I mean, they've, you know, great experience of that in the past. Jasmine, you mentioned the coaching carousel also hitting the Dritte Liga, and partly the reason for that is at least the fact that Dynamo Dresden, the side that each and every one of us would have picked as favorites to go up at the start of the season, They're in fifth on 56 points. Rot-Weiß Essen, they are ahead of them on 58 points. Preußen Münster in third. Newly promoted Preußen Münster are in third on 61 points. Jahn Regensburg barely holding on, 62 points in second. And Ulm, yes, Ulm, with 3 match days to go, have at least secured themselves a promotion playoff spot.
It's nuts.
They're on 68 points and need just one more win from the last 3.
That is nuts. It's nuts that 2 out of the 4 newly promoted teams are probably going to get promoted. Has that ever happened where they've pretty much only been promoted teams? I'm sure it has. It's quite a close league, but I can't imagine this on this scale. I know Preußen Münster.
I mean, Elversberg did the same last season, but I don't think we had 2 teams going up at the same time. And I mean, out of the 4 promoted sides, 3 of them are in the top 8. Only Lübeck are going straight back down. I mean, yes, they are going straight back down. They are 10 points behind safety now. They drew only 0-0 against Arminia Bielefeld on the weekend, so that sealed their deal. Oh yeah, Preußen Münster, what a story that is. They've been winning and winning and winning of late, and you know, they even turned a 2-1 deficit into a 5-3 away win against Victoria Köln this weekend.
They do put, a bit like Elversberg, they have got a bigger amount of money pushed into infrastructure in their team. So that's not as surprising. Ulm, I don't know as much about, but obviously their background is a little bit more well-known than others in this league, so not the biggest surprise. I mean, I think what people would have said before the season started, Arminia Bielefeld, Munich 1860, probably maybe Ingolstadt as well.
I highlighted Ingolstadt, yes.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Waldhof Mannheim as well, who are currently in 16th.
And they've just been saved. No, oh no, where was it with that I got confused last time? And it was the bald guy who always takes over everyone. Who's the manager?
Yeah, Antwerpen.
Oh, good old Antwerpen. But yeah, so Preußen Münster, not really surprised. I mean, I'm surprised in which the manner of how they've come about. I think everyone was expecting Dresden and Regensburg to just be plain sailing. Unfortunately, that has become all undone. Regensburg really have clung on to that spot, even though they went on to as bad as a run as Dynamo Dresden did. So, yeah, that's been quite exciting in the Dritte Liga.
Yeah, I mean, Dynamo and Jan Regensburg basically drew this weekend, but Jan Regensburg are in awful form, really.
I'm surprised that, I mean, we talk about people sacking their coaches just before, you know, something happens. They went on a really bad run and didn't sack, can't remember who's there now, but is it, no. Not Salim Begovic, that's Hans Rostock.
Of Regensburg, it's Joe Enox.
Ah, yeah. It is Enox.
Mm.
There's a man who always goes under my radar. I always forget that he exists. So, in the same kind of capacity of Dynamo Dresden sacking Mark Sanfang, Regensburg haven't quite done that. Possibly if they somehow don't get promoted, I can see that happening because they also had a very big gap. And just to make it complete, as we're on that managerial carousel with Dresden, who started everything with it, apparently you sank one coach and then it's like a spider sense that goes to all the other former coaches in the news all the time. It's said to be, there's been loads of rumours who gets that job. I've had Stam from Freiburg's FI, seeing as he's not going to be Freiburg first team manager. Toby Schweinsteiger seems to be a very nailed on candidate for that job. Which would be fun, because he played with Osnabrück in the third league last season was insane.
Kept Dresden from getting promoted.
Yes, that too. He has experience in getting promoted, and he plays crazy football. So, be excited to see if that works, and if that happens.
Yeah. I mean, loads of exciting stuff still to come. Well, got 3 more matches in the Dritte Liga this season. Loads of other teams that might seal promotion in the Regionalliga. Promotion playoffs coming up, relegation playoffs coming up from the Bundesliga 2 and between the Bundesliga 2 and the Dritte Liga. Wow. Season is really really shaping up nicely for us. So yeah, I'm sure there will be loads and loads and loads to talk about 2 weeks from now, but for now, I think we can call it a day for this episode of Talking Foosball, the Aufstieg edition. Mike, I know you are going to run off to another appointment that you have straight away, so let's just be quick. Where can people find you on the interweb, and where can they find your work?
Yeah, you can find us, the Millerntone, on nearly every social media thing except X.
Jasmine, where can people find Mrs. Hahn on... I said Jasmine Barber in the intro again, didn't I? It's just old habits are... That's so hard to break. But yes,
just voice over it.
But Mrs. Hahn, where can people find you on X and other social media?
_ Jasmine Hahn on X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram. And if you're someone in football or football journalism, maybe you can add me on LinkedIn as well, where you will see my intents to talk to Ole Fortu of the...
Getting the popcorn ready as we speak. Ole Fortu, a man with a search history as illustrious as Ernst Middendorf's club career in Africa. Anyways, my name is Nick Wildteigen. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at NormMusings. You can find our podcast there as well, at Talking Foosball. Make sure to give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Write us a nice review if you're so inclined. This episode of Talking Foosball, the Aufstieg edition, has been produced, as always, by our all-star producer, Aidan Rantoul. We'll be back next week with another edition of Talking Foosball to talk about all the things that have come on in Europe and all the latest developments in the Bundesliga. Until then, it is goodbye for now.